بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. These are some incidents, scattered incidents, reflecting the character, the style, and the approach of our elders. What was their approach? How did they conduct themselves? How did they carry themselves out? It is important to learn these things, to understand this. The reason being that these people were closest to the Sunnah. But amongst the people that we know or that are closest to us, they are very close to the Sunnah. They had the spirit of the Sunnah within them. That the understanding of the Sunnah within them. So, an easy way to emulate the Sunnah is to look at their style, look at their ways, look at their behavior, look at their conduct. There is an incident of a person coming to Sahanpur. Alim. For some reason he had to be in Sahanpur for some days, for some months. Being a Sahanpur Rapta's relative, he requested that I stayed here for some time. So I need to get myself occupied. Can you allow me to teach some kitab? So Mala gave it a thought. So I will teach this kitab here. So he objected. He says, give me these kitabs to teach. Give me Bukhari Sharif, give me Tirmidhi Sharif, senior most kitabs, and I will teach it better than you. Well, Sahanpuri Sahib is a great muhaddis, and his book, Basrul Majhood, is recognized worldwide. And then he is the Sheikh of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi. Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. So you can imagine now what a giant of an ilm he must be. So Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib explained to him that there is no doubt that you will definitely teach the kitab better than me. But you see, the problem now is the character of the students have changed now. Their behavior has changed. It's not like what it used to be then, in the time that you had studied Bukhari and Tirmidhi and all that. Their behavior is not like what it used to be then. Then the behavior was different. The behavior was whatever the Ustad had to explain very gently, politely, they would receive it. They would not make objections and they would continue. But now, their behavior has drastically changed. So they will ask all type of questions, whether it's right or not right, they will ask those questions just in order to harass the teacher. As far as myself is concerned, then I live with them. And because I live with them, so they make a little bit of consideration for me. Now you new here, they will really make things difficult for you. So anyway, all this happened, and this person had gone. So one student was there, this discussion, one student was there. He overheard this whole discussion. So he says to Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, Mawlana, give him the kitab, give him Bukhari Sharif, and we'll put him in his place, we'll fix him. قسم ہے وحدہ لا شریک لہ کی کہ بھائی قسم the name of Allah Ta'ala, we'll ask such questions that he'll regret the very day that he was born. Now Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, he bit his finger and he says, hi, don't ever say such a thing. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like statements of pride. Person puts him up, put himself up. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this type of statements. Barai ke kalime ko Allah Ta'ala pasand nahi karte. You see, from the very beginning right to the end, how Mawlana Sahib puts up, carried himself out. It's an informal relationship. But in that informal relationship, see the type of modesty, the humility, right through. The theme is that humility. Whereas it was just an impromptu, it was something played up now. One is, you know, it's played up, I come and tell you, tomorrow I'm going to test your humility. So you must really behave well. So you'll play it pretty well, you know, when someone is going to see a girl, you know, so he really plays it very well, put nice topi, comb, this, that, you know, with that type of kurta. And he's at his best performance, you know, the way he'll carry himself out, the English that he will speak, type of questions and answers that he'll give, you know, high profile, right? Or you're going for a CV interview, you're going, you know, and how you carry yourself out. So that's all played up. This is an impromptu, off the cuff, and how he carried himself. So this was the theme, this is the cornerstone of these people's lives. Humility. Last night also I spoke about it. And the level of humility these people had. And the need that I see, that we need to have this humility in us is, you see, we are just about 2% Muslims in this country, right? 2-3%, and all around is kuffar, right through. So, to some point we get absorbed in their culture, in their ways, their behavior, the way they think, the way they reason, the way they conduct themselves, we get absorbed. We don't even realize it. Because it's so much right through. You look on the right, look on the left, front, behind. It's only kuffar that you are interacting with. So their ways, their behavior, it must affect you. You can't say it will not affect you. Now how much do you need to preserve yourself, secure yourself? What type of values our Akabir had, our Buzuganadin had, are we taking on those same values or are we moving on to some new set of values? Mr. Rahman used to be particular about this. When we'll be talking to him, first, our Urdu is not right still now, then it was even worse. Right, so, in one word that you are speaking, he'll catch you there, he'll get you. Why did you use this word? And this word, it gives off some type of pride. It throws off some type of takabbur. So he will correct you there and then. He will correct you. So you begin to understand, well, this is something that is a missing element in our lives. And we don't even realize that because we're so deeply absorbed into it, so we don't even realize that we are in the mix of takabbur, pride. So at every step, we need to clear ourselves out. I know my one aunt was in Hajj. So 1963-64, and then she got linked up with the Tabligh Jamaat at that time. So one of the senior woman that was in responsible of the Jamaat at that time, or more active in the Jamaat, used to call her Jullubai. This Bawani family, Pakistan, and she was quite responsible. She was also there for Hajj. So my aunt had taken a liking for her. So she explained that after there was some compatibility and some understanding and all that. So she says, no, I seen your South African woman, and from their style and their walk, you can make out this is South African woman. Because you carry yourself out differently, what an air about you. I'm something different than the others. Right? So we do have it, not that we don't have it. We do have this thing here. And we need to eliminate, we need to clean this, we need to work on this, in our talk, in our conduct, in our behavior, in our ways. And the effective way is to reflect. When I spoke to this person in this way, these were the words that I used, right? Is there any pride in that? I conduct myself in this meeting in this way, is there any pride, is there any takabur in it or not, right? Or I spoke to that person in this way, you know, and was it right of me to speak to him that way or not? Right? So the more you will take stock of yourself, you will take account of yourself, you understand, right? This was where I went off, this is a problem here, and this is not the type of behavior that is concurring with humility and tawazu. So at all times, and really that life becomes more enjoyable, more pleasant, when someone just learns to be humble. Now, if everybody wants to be Mr. Someone, right, everybody comes, for example, at an istima, everybody comes with that type of personality. Can an istima ever run? Istima can't run. If everybody comes like a makhdoom now, I'm the big person at the istima, and I'm the more respectable person, I'm like this and I'm whatever, will an istima ever run? Can't run. Because everybody wants recognition. Everybody wants that I must be identified. I must get some position. People must come and shake hands with me. Or people must tell me to come and sit on the stage. Or they must give me some type of dignified position. Istima is just an example. But to the contrary, if everybody says, "Oh, I'm nothing. I will do this khidmat, I will that, do that," the istima runs very well. That is why they say, you keep two kings in one kingdom, it can't work out. They will fight each other to death, and then they will run, right? But you keep 10 faqirs under one blanket, they'll manage. Right? He will say, "My brother, let him enjoy the blanket," and so forth and so on. You know that incident, Abu Jahm radiallahu ta'ala, and his cousin wanted water, and he's dying, and how one is giving preference to his brother. Right? Sometimes we mistakenly feel that ikram is only supposed to be done when we're out in Jamaat. Right? When we come home, then there's one biscuit or something, one chocolate. So now there is a big ikhtilaf in the mind. Now, must make ikram to my wife, or must I eat it myself? So you look for the wajah tarjih for yourself. You look for the reasons for preference, preferring yourself. You know? So I went so long in Jamaat, so she will like it that I eat it. You know? If I give it to her, she won't feel so good about it. So you look for some justification to eat it yourself. Whereas that ikram will show it now. In every respect, the ikram is going to show it. How are you conducting yourself? How do you conduct yourself? In Darulum Dioban, there was one Buzurg, Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So there was a severe drought in India until that time. Largely of the rains. If the rains don't come on time, then they had it. The whole year is gone, finished. So there's no rains, and there was a mashwara that Salatul Istisqa must be conducted. In the meanwhile, some alim was already appointed to lead the Istisqa Salat. Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he also participated, but Allah Ta'ala showed him that they're going to make dua for all the days, they're going to make dua and there will be no rain coming. Somehow Labak will show you, maybe through Kashf or through some dream or whatever it is. So anyway, they went for the first day. Somehow some rain, no rain came. Second day, no rain came. Normally they do it over 3 days. Third day, Ma offered himself. Azhar Hussein Sahib, he offered himself. Whereas there was a rivalry between him and that Mulana who had performed the namaz. How you have a contemporary, one contemporary and the other has some type of rivalry. So the third day he offered himself. So people were excited that Mulana offered himself. Normally Mulana doesn't ever offer himself, take that position or some type of position or distinguished position, he doesn't take it. But today he is gone forth, so definitely rain will come. But rain didn't come. Someone asked him, Mulana, why did you offer yourself? What was the need for you to offer yourself? He said that I understood there's not going to be any rain. Right? I understood that there's not going to be any rain. And if for all the 3 days this Mulana here, if he went and there was no rain, they won't have a high opinion of him, they'll think low of him. Then I thought to myself, if people are going to talk low of him, then why don't I take some share of his burden as well? Humiliate him, or they're going to put him down, some share of it, why don't I take also? He takes a share, I take a share as well, some in my plate. Now, who thinks like this? We generally think that all the praise has come on our side, all the singers on our side, gravy on that side. And they felt, no, let the singers go that side, let the gravy come on our end. See, until we don't learn these things here, we have to relate to our Zaman. That's why we have to think about these people here. So these are finer things and day-to-day things. Right? And we don't see these things in this light here. Then generally, will cause fights, small things, arguments, fights, problems, misunderstanding. Right? So, and the reason is that we didn't see these people, nor are the incidents of these people before us. We don't talk about it, we don't relate, we don't discuss it. So then a little bit of piety comes in, a little bit of knowledge comes in, and then we get bloated. I see from Hakim Sahib's people, the senior most person is, according to my understanding, Allah Pak knows best, Mir Sahib, that is with Hakim Sahib for the longest period, 35 years, whatever it is. I remember once, I was in Dawat, I was called, I think it was in Azad, if I remember correctly, many years ago. Said something, I think it was not in keeping with the visage of Hakim Sahib. Hakim Sahib is an elderly person, now he must be about 65, 70. He must have been about 60. So Hakim Sahib told him, stand up and hold your ears. I don't even told him to make udbet or to just stand up and hold your ears. At that age, he is the most senior buzurg now. He asked him to do this much in the presence of everybody there, all the ulama and all the guests and all that. And you could see his face was absolutely no frown on the face, like he felt bad or offended. Normally, and he's carrying on after that, still writing, absolutely normal. Absolutely normal. For us to come back to terms will take, I think, 10 years. Hey, I was made to do this type of treatment. And then I must relate again, I must come back to terms. I seen this, hey, this is something else. Mir Sahib is something else. He's got that, he was reprimanded in that whole gathering. No brains you got, you did this. he asked him, stand up, hold your ears. At that age, he's the most senior person, he's doing all the khidmat, all the hard work he's doing, he's making the notes and everything. It's a hard work, you know, to cause the tape recorder in his ears and making the notes on one line, you know, pushing it back, bring it again. And one mistake, stand up, hold your ears. And no frown, no problem, absolutely no problem. But this man is saying, right, this is for my own good, I need to behave like this, and I need that type of treatment for myself. You could just see it, you know, on his face you could see it, absolutely nothing. Sajid Ramadan used to say sometimes that when a person wants to reflect, it's easy for him to reflect. He says, in bachcho ko dekho, unka seena bekina. The two lessons that you learn from children, one is, their hearts are absolutely clean. No malice, they don't harbor any malice. Right? Just now they fight, hit one or the other, he'll tear his shirt or something. Next more they're friends again, they're talking, they're playing, and so really they don't harbor any malice. No malice at all. That's how they shouted at him, they fought or something, and then again they're friends. Again they'll fight, again they're friends. And they'll be sitting and eating together again. So they don't know what is malice. They don't know what it is. It doesn't appear anywhere in their dictionary. First lesson, he says, what you learn in the children. And the second lesson that you learn in the children, unke dilon mein koi takabbur nahi. There's no pride in their hearts. Now the mother took all the pains, bathed the child, put nice soap and what, nice clothes, you know, nice soup, the tie, and fixed up everything. And half an hour later, he would have a chocolate, the whole food, everything is messed up. And he doesn't feel anything about it. The child, he doesn't feel ashamed at all about it. Mother will make a big noise, bring the roof down. This is what you're doing. You must find another clothes. She make a that child for himself. I don't say we carry on ourselves dirty, but the point we learned here is look at the hearts. There's no pride at all, no pride. Absolutely clean hearts. So that's why the hadith says, Rehanul Jannah. Yeah, that's like the flowers of Jannah. These children are the flowers of Jannah. So for a person who wants to reflect, wants to learn, it's easy. Look at the Sahaba Ikram, right? The aspect of humility. Perhaps it was Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was dismissed from his position. And he's in the presence of Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu had put some question forth to him, and he's not answering. So he asked him for the second time, not answering. Third time, not answering. Then some other sahabi, perhaps Bilal, got up and he took out his turban and he tied him up like how a prisoner is tied. Now a prisoner comes with his hands tied and all that. He tied Khalid radiallahu anhu. Now Umar radiallahu anhu, when he asked, he answered everything. So the reason for him not answering was that a prisoner must be tied. He must be, when he's in presence of whatever it is, he must be tied. So Khalid is objecting to Umar, then why did you make this additional consideration towards me? I'm brought here, I'm summoned as a prisoner. When I'm summoned as a prisoner, then I must be tied. My hands must be tied. Exception from the Islamic law, this is a law. So what caused you to make an exception for me? See now how their minds work. Minds are totally different. Sometimes you think of the Sahaba like they were people from a different planet. Compared to us, like a people from a totally different planet. You see that humility. So that is why yesterday I explained also that to get that zawq, you know, to get that taste, to get that understanding, to get that taste. Definitely we shouldn't think of what I spoke about last night. mustn't take the wrong end of the stick. Everybody just relax now, we'll make an ibadat, a sleep away. No, that's not the manshay. Obviously you came here to correct yourself, to value your time, to see that how best your time is utilized tonight. That's one thing. So we don't engage in anything vain, anything that is futile, any vanities and futilities, we don't engage in that. Try and use our time as best as possible, right? However, whatever is convenient, whatever. But the more important thing now is that taste. Is Subhanuddin, what was the taste? How did they look at things? What was the outlook? Tamil says that this is the thing, that zok is the thing to be acquired at the presence of this Subhanuddin. It is not the ibadah, because ibadah you can earn it yourself. You can earn it yourself. But the taste of this, their temperament, how they work, what is the outlook, how they looked at things. Now look at this incident of Hazrat Khalid al-Jilalan, how he conducted himself. Now if we didn't read this incident, we don't discuss it, we don't reflect upon it, I will only look at the one side of his life. We'll look at his valor. Or we'll look at Abu Huraira, we'll only look at his enthusiasm for knowledge, right? And perhaps we may see Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and we'll see his eagerness for ibadat, right? Now we don't look at their lives from different dimensions. And if we don't look at the lives of different dimensions, then you haven't got the total picture, you haven't got it complete. Just took one, and you left the rest of it. Sometimes I used to see in Jalalabad, Azadji Ahmed was like an international buzruk, whole world acclaimed, right? And now these people, they're all ulama, senior ulama, his murids, his khulafa, and the whole place is packed up. One villager comes, I'm seeing this, what's going on, One villager comes, and they got their own style, Like how you see these children, they got no formalities. Whatever comes their way, just let drive. Anything comes their way, let drive. So this villager is asking Hazrat in front of all of us, Tune shadi nahi ki? Tu shadi nahi karta? Why don't you get married? Hazrat is in his final stages, right? That old advanced age. And this villager is coming, see? You're not getting married, what's wrong with you? And on Hazari's face, nothing. So I said, Hazari is saying, at this age now, you want me to get married at this age now? Won't I be a burden to a woman? He said, shadi karna chahiye tujhe. You must make shadi, you must make. And absolutely, there's no distaste. He's not feeling upset at all. He's carrying on normal after. Absolutely normal. He's conducting himself absolutely normal. What happens to us? Suddenly we're thrown in a position, and then in front of all those people that know us, and someone conducts himself in that way. Sorry, just sit on. We'll talk to you later. We involve in something more, much more important here. Coming and interrupting here. That will be our style, and that style is different. See that humility, down to earth. Don't think nothing of yourself. Okay. This is something else, and this has to be acquired. See, for any dini work to prosper, we need to have that. Otherwise now, you're working, right? Dini work normally is done, you're doing it combined, together, combined. You want to do it one man, you can do it to a certain extent, you can't do further than that. But now your madrasa, jamaat, anything, you run an istima all yourself, can you do it? All yourself, one man. I will do it myself, put all the tents, everything. I'll get the bayan, I'll go and feed, I'll do the kitchen, everything myself. One person can't. You need a combined work. And when you have got a combined effort, you've got different people from different lifestyles, backgrounds. It's all got different temperaments. So there must be some degree of humility, and with humility, some degree of tolerance and endurance. Then that work will work. then that thing will, whatever you want to do, the dini work will carry on. But you don't have the tolerance, you don't have endurance, and you want deen to prosper, then it can't work. One brother was here, multi-millionaire. So he came 1 hour, 2 hours, he came here and he went away. So some things of his, some aspects of his Islam, he will discuss it. Very, very, very well. He said, oh, hey, I went there one time to the Jamaat. I hold my ears, I'll never go back again. I think, by what happened? If to first understand what he's taught, you can't just start giving bayan. Understand what he's taught. So now I went to the mixed Jamaat, you know. Some brothers from here, and they all saw the tickets. So I saw the clothes hanging and they dried already. So I knew the person whose clothes it was. But your clothes have already dried. So if you want, you can pull them out, you know. So that person very bluntly, he tells me, is it on your way? Is it on your way? Not in your way, just keep quiet. Oh, imagine, I know the person, I know his business all the time. He got 50, 100 people under him. Now he's got an authority of position, right? And this person here, he may not be even worth the lowest of his staff. And he's talking to him in this manner. But because you are in the Jamaat, you can't say anything. Because all of you are equal then, right? Say, I just held my ears, I'm never going to go again. Say, I told him, you must go. You see, to him, your Islam is in the Jamaat. Your reformation is in the Jamaat. The reason is, you're always used to some type of authority, some type of position, they must recognize you. Assalamu alaikum, Hazrat, how are you? Everything's well. So everybody's offering you that respect. So, with that too much of respect, your mind is going to get bloated. So someone has to come and neutralize the effect. So that brother, he did the operation. Really, he did the operation. You know, all that muck that was inside, he did the operation, he got you out. So you must actually be thankful to him. Otherwise, if you don't have this type of people, I don't know which planet you'll be living in. You see how all people carry themselves out. You got that wealth, and that with that wealth you need the recognition. Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, what a giant of a buzzard he was. All his buzzard, his students, that are these by him. But the day Mehman came to Shaykhul Hind Sahib Rahmatullahi, his ustad. Not even his share, just his ustad. Right. That zamana, they had the bucket system, you know, that you all loaded, finish. India, you know, till the time you went, sometimes the toilet that you go, it's all loaded to capacity. With that, you must just do your stuff. From the ground to the so much of layers and layers, the stuff is there, and you should do your stuff. With all that, the beginning, you go there, you can't even relieve yourself. What we're used to, and then you can see this extreme, you can't even relieve that thing. You say, you'll just get out. But then you say, how much sabr I going to make? With passage of time, you get used to it. Right. So now, Mawlana has got guest. The Shaykh Ul Insaf Rahman has got guest. And the toilet is in a condition. So many guests are pulling one tank, one toilet. So everybody's doing the same thing. Hazrat Madani Sahib, Shaykh al-Islam, he doesn't find any hesitation within himself. He goes there at a time, but he's not observed. He takes that bucket of all that mess and that filth with his own hand, go and deposits it, and brings it back. Cleans it up. Now the Muhammad says, hey, so nice, clean. And again, when it gets filled up, then again he's doing it. Now these are the qualities that we learn. We should be learning from these people. The person who's posted to that position, that acceptance and all that, he doesn't just get posted like that. Humility, koot koot karke, tawazu aur fanaiyat, koot koot kar, unke andar bhari jati hai. He is the personification of humility. Just humility. He doesn't consider himself anything, nor does he have any type of expectation. On the one end, now you see him, then you see those type of insolence with him. Right? He's teaching, conducting sabak of hadith. Madani Sabrahta, he's conducting a sabak of hadith, you know. And the question is about Hayatul Nabi, about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being alive in the grave. Unnecessarily the Salafis made this a big story, you see. But it's so simple to be understood and so simply to be explained that you have to tell the Salafi that you also believe in it, you know. But just that you're not using your brains. If you use your brains, you'll understand that you also believe in it. You ask him simply that, do you believe in Mi'raj? Said, yeah. And who performed the namaz? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who did he lead? All Anbiya. So, were they alive or they dead when he was leading them? When he led all of them, they had to be alive for him to lead them. Then he went to the first Asman, Ibn Adam alayhi salam, the second Isa alayhi salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa. So all they were dead people that he was beating. And then a hadith speaks about someone passing by Musa alayhi salam's grave, and he saw him performing namaz on the side. How did he do all that? So he couldn't have been making salam and talking to them, and they couldn't have been talking once they were dead. All alive, the dead person doesn't talk. How did it? So the question of these things are they create masail, etc. Whereas they don't realize that they believe in it themselves. They themselves believe in it, and they don't realize. Then they ask, all right, you know, you talk of the Ubundis talk of Anbiya being alive. And then you say, no, you can take benefit from the grave, from the dead. So now you ask them a simple question. Simple question. How many namazes were there originally? Allah Pak had given how many namazes? 50 namazes. Then this whole concession, it came through who? Through Musa alayhi salam. Through who the concession came? To a live person, to a dead person. Who was still in this realm. But he had moved on to the hereafter. The person who had already died, obviously. So the whole relaxation came. So this benefit came from where? The benefit and the relaxation came from who? Came from someone that passed the realm, was gone that side. He gave this big discount. What? You don't get a discount like that. 50 to 5. I think only one time we saw something like that in India. I took these boys, so they want to do some shopping, you know. So they heard about Palikar Bazaar. All the years I was in India, I never know about Palikar Bazaar. Really, I don't know what is Palikar Bazaar. So some of them, they went there. So he's offered that chap is selling that, I think it was a leather jacket or something, and one boy's bargaining. From 1,000 rupees, he brought it to about 50 rupees. So that's where I thought about this incident, you know. 50 to 5. Then. Ridiculous. From 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees to 50 rupees. Any price, just take it and go, man. Take it and go. So, what we're discussing is this aspect of humility, right? Tell you that without that humility, there's no spice in life, there's no enjoyment. That is, just, life becomes just like a formality, rigid routine. Do like this, don't do like this. That's just an act that can it, you know. The enjoyment of life is when there's informality. Otherwise, with this formality, can you be doing love with your wife? Formality, or you must do like this, I must do like this. That is the English way now. The dance was dance like this and like this. We can't. If you want to enjoy life, then you have to be informal. And the informality requires humility. Without that humility, you can't. It can never be an enjoyable life. It can never be an enjoyable life. So this Buzurgan Adin, they taught us This is the cornerstone of their life. Right? How they conducted themselves, what they did. Muhammad Lat, now you see him so popular, right? But I remember him saying that Hazrat Jumayyah Ibn Sabrani was making his Islah. Some minor mistake, Hazrat didn't want to talk to him. Until he felt, no, I can't stay in Nizamuddin now. Maybe I get banishing orders. He's crying and Tawbah, this, that. Eventually, Hazrat embraced him and took him. But he says that Hazrat did this just for my Islah, just for my reformation, my correction. He wants to see now what is the level of this man's endurance. Hazrat, he's becoming popular now. Istima is about he's taking the stage. He's going here, he's taking the stage. So is this going into his mind? Now, if he goes there, if he goes in that position, then he must be broken up first. Must be broken up, then he goes in that position. Then he can keep up to that position. Otherwise, if that goes into the mind, then it's fight. Then it's a power struggle. It's fight. There's problems. There's difficulties. Right? But if you don't have that feeling of yourself, you don't have it at all. Today you are on the stage there. Tomorrow you're in the reception. Both are the same. So if you ask someone, how was my bayan? Then you ask someone, how was my reception as well? Was my reception right? You will only not ask about how was the bayan. You ask about both. Right. So you see this the style of our Buzugaladin, the style, the way, their behavior, the type of humility they have got. This is something that we need to acquire, we need to learn, we need to understand. In their clothing, their behavior, in their ways. Now there's numerous incidents, and all the incidents explaining their humility, all how they conducted themselves, and it's not just these Deoband ulama, from Sayyid Shah Waliyul Asad's time. You look at all this time. Absolute, it's like a embodiment of humility, embodiment of humility. Well, Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, if he was moving out in Jamaat, I'm talking of the more recent ones. He was in Jamaat, so now he's going to one area. And amongst the first things that he will do is go check the toilets. India is quite different. It's not like how we have it here. But then, if the toilet is not in a state, then he will pull out his kurta in the toilet, lock the toilet, pull out his kurta, put his pants up. With his own hands, he will clean the whole place. If another Jamaat member sees him, he says, how you do? No, he says, you get out, I will do it. Maa Sayyid Sahib would say, that you just allow me to carry on. Had you wanted to clean the toilet, you would have come before me and cleaned it. But now I started it, so you just remain where you are. You remain where you are, let me clean the place. Now, you see, the one is that humility, it gets you right. It gets you right. And you don't do it to impress on anybody. Remember that humility is not done to be impressed, to impress. Otherwise, if you're doing to impress, and now you read that you were humble, and nobody recognizes you, I'm so humble, and I didn't get anything out of it. I did everything, but I didn't get anything out of it. That's our South African mentality. When you need something, you need to see a reward. You need to see a reward, then that thing works. If you don't see a reward, then it's not working. Say, rather, just leave this humility aside. Let's take this and adopt some other means. But, in Cape Town, there was an old worker, Abdul Rahman Saleh. Some of you must, I don't know if you've seen him. Passed away now. A lot of Josh. He took out his horse from the horse. He's riding the house and sunnah to go on horse for Hajj. I'm taking the horse and going. Poor doesn't know. A lot of Josh. He came, I think, somewhere, Port Elizabeth, the SPCA caught him. But anyway, this evil, they meant good. They didn't have any evil at heart. They meant good. One of the pioneers, and his zamana, he was a terrorist. He was about to bomb the parliament buildings and all that. That's why he didn't get a passport for so many years. After that, then last 10, 15 years before he passed away, they gave him his passport and all that. So I knew him, one-on-one I knew him. So I asked him, what impressed you with Jamaat? What pulled your heart? He says, me, you know me. So this word for this gangsters and all that, in Cape Town, somewhere, I can't get the word. I don't feel any sheikh, any of these other shaykh, I can talk to them how I want to. So I know personalize, I know. So I can talk to them one-on-one, you know. None of them ever impressed me. But what impressed you? What impressed you? So he says that first Jamaat came, and Cape Town, the standards are a little bit low, you see. And the toilets were in a mess. So he says, he still remembers that about 1 o'clock at night, Bhai Fadia went himself, he pulled his kurta out, pulled his pants up, and with his own hand he cleaned the whole place. And now we were in that other that time, you know. We were all gangsters, big gangsters at that time. Right? So we awake the whole night. We watching what's going on here, what's going on there. And I seen this man, yeah, he's the Amir of this Jamaat, and he's doing this, and this is something else. If this is the Amir, and this man can do this work, then definitely this is something else. It's not an ordinary work. See, so that humility is good for you, and also to maintain the spirit of the entire Jamaat, it's a great thing. It's not only good for you, but for the entire Jamaat, it's a good thing, great thing. But provided, like I say, that humility is done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. See, the hadith says, Man tawadha'a lillah. Man tawadha'a lillah. Humility for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. La linnas. It's not done. Humility is not for show off to people. It's done just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For His pleasure. Right? To gain His closeness, you are being humble. So this is really appreciated by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala when it's done only for His sake. Nothing for no other reason. It's for His sake. So what I was trying to get at today is to understand these people. To understand. And I say this thing, this theme was not only in our capital, but if you follow it up, you know, you follow it up, you'll find the same theme. Muhammad bin Munkadir is a great muhaddis, very great muhaddis. So he passed the entire night pressing the feet of his mother, whilst his other brother passed the entire night Tahajjud namaz. He's a very popular, very, very well known muhaddis, Muhammad bin Munkadir. But he says, I don't wish to bargain the nights of my brother. I don't wish to bargain my nights with the nights of my brother. He knows now what is the rewards for this. The khidmat of the mother against the Tahajjud namaz. What is the reward? He knows what the wisdom is. This doesn't look much, you see. Now, sometimes we get confused. Sometimes. One extreme is now, you see, the khidmat is the main thing, so we leave out Tahajjud namaz. Right? That's the one extreme. That's wrong as well. Right? And the other extreme is that you think, Tahajjud namaz is the main thing, khidmat is by the way. Right? So we are totally disconcerned about khidmat. So both extremes. Yes, at the occasion of khidmat, when time warrants you to do the khidmat, there is nothing more superior than khidmat itself. The person requires your khidmat, he requires your service. At that time, to be engaging tahajjud is not the most virtuous thing. But then, engage in the khidmat. Maybe some of the famous hadith where he asked, who will guard us for the night? That Sahabi volunteers himself. Right? So he left out the tahajjud and he's guarding the mountain peak. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him the basharat of Jannat. But for what? For the khidmat. So at the time that khidmat requires you, service requires you, you're doing khidmat. At the time it requires you that you engage in tahajjud, you're getting engaged in tahajjud. Now, as I say, the way we get confused is, see, when a person is engaged in tahajjud, that he feels good of himself also. All the lust that he feels, nice, satisfaction, happiness, and noor and all that he feels. So he feels that this is the greatest thing. There isn't a thing greater than this. But then in khidmat and all that, he doesn't see that. One is khidmat, and one is, for example, where someone is reprimanding you, you see. In public, someone is reprimanding you, and you're not expressing any anger. He's reprimanding you, he's going on with you, and you're just remaining cool, composed, and you're moving on. So now, in public, not to express any anger, nothing, no sentiments, just remain quiet, cool, calm. Right? Now that is not considered an act of piety. And nobody considers you as a pious person. Yeah, that person, he can't talk for himself. Man. He's a sissy, he can't even talk. They spoke to him like that and he just kept quiet and went away. So this is not counted as an act of piety. But getting up 2 o'clock at the night, making wuzu and all that, tahajjud and long namaz and all that, now that is counted as an act of piety. You feel good about yourself, people observe you, they feel pious about you. But here the person who is swallowing pride, or he's swallowing his anger, right? That in his own eyes is not counted as an act of piety, and nor in the eyes of people is it counted as an act of piety. But for that moment, that reward is far greater than the tahajjud that you will perform. For that moment, it's difficult now. He's telling me like this. He's a youngster and he's telling me, no brains. I spent 4 months in a jamaat and I came now. And the wife is talking to me like this. She doesn't appreciate the qurbani that I made. I must tell her, put it in the place. So she's saying me something and I'm saying it. So she's saying something and I'm saying something. She doesn't appreciate, she doesn't know, you know, what a pious person I am. You know what, how much khatam I made. She doesn't know all these things yet. So all those things go in your mind. When they go in your mind, are you going to say it? Tit for tat, right? So at that occasion that requires of you to be patient, then patience is the most virtuous thing. At that occasion that you require to perform namaz, then namaz is the most virtuous thing. Right? Now if you pull one side only, say no, only namaz is the main thing, patience, tolerance, endurance, perseverance, swallowing the pride, swallowing anger, etc., then we don't consider that as an act of virtue. No, I'm a showman. I'm a man in the house here. Who's the boss here? That's how she takes advantage of this thing. You know? Everything, I mean, just listen to everything. Whatever she says. And who's the boss here? Who puts the pants here? So Shaitan will also, he will prepare answers in your mind. You got a tongue, you're a man, you must stand your grounds, you must say, you know, what you want to say. And actually you give in to one, you know, then you give in to something else. Right? So Shaitan will play his side. And when he plays his side, you go in for his story. You buy his story. When you buy his story, then there's an argument. There's a fight after that. Right? There's a fight. Now then what? Then it's free fall. Then say, yeah, you know, so and so is having a fight with his wife there. You know? It's talk for the whole town. The whole town, they must spectate that. Yeah, what happened to you now? How they still all right now? So it's talk for the whole town. But the easier way is, for the 1-2 times, listen to them. Hazrat Ram explained once, the one person was having fights with his wife all the time. So he started coming to Hazrat, big fights. Big fights. So he came once to Hazrat, so after taking takbiyat, understanding, you know, like I say, this temperament, this taste, understanding, that understanding has to go through a process, then you will know what to do at the occasion, what to do, how to conduct yourself, what to do. That is, provided you got the taste. If you didn't get the taste, you don't know what to do. Rao, he came to Hazrat Rahmat Ali, and Hazrat asked him, now how's it going? So he started laughing, he bursted out laughing. So Hazrat, now it's going on very well, it's excellent. What happened? So no, when I left you, Rao, certain things came to my mind. I began to understand things from a different perspective. So when I came, then she started giving to me again. So I heard her out. After about 5 minutes, when she kept quiet, then I went and preached, gave a nice hug and all, I wanted to kiss and all that. And I had one toffee, or in India they got me tied, you know. And slowly I just slipped into her mouth. And then I told her, you know, those gems that were flowing from your mouth, I'm going to eat some more of that, man. Now this whole thinking took a transformation. What? This whole thinking took a transformation. Now where did this happen? If you only look at the one side of tahajjud and all that, and he didn't learn how to swallow anger, pride, all this, it's not a complete thing. He's causing fights in the house. And this is what shaitan really cheers up with. He really relishes this, because it's happening in the presence of the children. Right? Then even if it's not a broken home, one is if it's a broken home, what happens? The disaster that takes place afterwards. Right. One person came yesterday, said, please make dua, man. My niece, someone is widowed for so many years, she can't find a proper match. Please make dua. Now they're rich, they're wealthy and all that. So I can understand now that she got feelings, she got emotions and sentiments and feelings. How long? 3-4 years now she's widowed. How long is she going to suppress her feelings? Isn't it dangerous in this zamana? Very dangerous in this zamana. Right? So one is that if she doesn't marry, and then the things that go with it, you know, emotions, sentiments, etc. And if you're still in a marriage, the children are watching all this. You're fighting away. The children are watching. Then one or two things happen to the children. This is a tongue of experience that I've seen. Right? One is this, that children become negative towards marriage. See, especially girls, they become negative towards marriage. They say, oh, if marriage life, this is what it means, then I'd rather not get married. I've seen that people that I know, girls when 25, 30, and they don't want to get married. Why? We saw our parents fighting. So I'm going to get married, then I will go through the same thing what my mother went through. So I'd rather not get married. See how their brains work. They become negative. They don't want to get married. But now, who caused this? The parents caused it. Either that it goes that way, or the other extreme it goes in is, say, my mother also stands up for her rights. So if my husband tells me anything, I will stand up also. Right? And that's the way it must go. If he says something, he says one thing, I'll say two things. If he says one third thing, I'll say five things. So it's a continuity of these fights, problems. It's a continuity of fights. One doctor phoned up, you know, says, please, Mawlana. He knows about community and all that. This is more, you know, people are getting married nowadays. Can't you organize pre-marital classes? Can't you organize pre-marital classes at least for 5-6 months before they get married? Because they don't know what marriage means. They don't know the duties, responsibilities, behavior, respect, appreciation, consideration towards the wife, towards the in-laws, etc. They don't know all these things here. They don't know tolerance. But they only see one thing, enjoyment. But that tolerance that goes with it, appreciation, thanks, appreciation, all that goes with it, they don't know about it. So can't you organize some classes like this? So what I'm showing you here is that you see this element of humility and how important swallowing pride, anger, all that, to take it on. Yeah. Not to be concerned about it. So now, the one who lives with the akabir, lives with them, understands them properly, he knows, right, how to adjust himself, how to conduct himself. One person was in a jamaat, a Pakistani businessman, so he gave his kalguzari of his own self. Whenever he's going out in jamaat, and the wife is letting him have it, you know. Now he's thinking, how to work this out? How to work it out for once and for all, you see? So he must have been a very good actor. I think Nasir will be no chance before him, no match before him. So now he pretended as though he's fast asleep. His wife is awake, and he knows his wife is awake, so he's pretended that he's fast asleep. In his sleep now, he starts talking. Yeah, how are you? Hey, you came back again. Where you lost and all that. So as though that friend of his is asking, how's your wife? Hey, my wife is like a hura in, man. One in a million you get like this, you know. You'll never get a wife like this. Only one problem she's got, that's all. So she must be very excited to hear what's this. If she gets this right, she's the queen of all the whores also. He's putting it up. So when I go in Jamaat, then she's making a noise for that. Let's make dua for it. When he got up in the morning, wife was a changed person, completely changed person. So what happened last night? What happened? He was talking, man. What? So these are little small games of humility. Let's hope this is not going to the ladies. Huh? Yeah. They must have learned all the tricks, you see. Small, little recipes of humility. How you can humble yourself and you can enjoy your life. Just humble yourself. I mean, there must be a reason why Nabi said, "Man tawada'a lillah," who humbles himself. In this world, you're not going to get things, everything conforming to you. Everything agree to you, your temperament, your nature, your way, your taste, everything. Things will happen for you in according to your taste, not in according to your taste. But if you can be humble, and you say, "No, everything comes from Allah, Pak. This must be some good here." Carry on, take it in the stride. See, life becomes enjoyable.